A paedophile hunting group yesterday defended its tactics after an RTE television sports producer who was confronted when he travelled to the UK to meet what he thought was a 13-year-old girl pleaded guilty to sex offences. Now, Kieran Creven flew from Dublin to Leeds to meet a girl he had groomed at the City's Queen Hotel, but the fictional teenager had been created by the Leeds-based group Predator Exposure. Now, when the 55-year-old turned up for the meeting, he was confronted by members of the group who streamed the encounter live on the internet. Outside court, one of the group's members, Phil, defended their sting, saying, "If this was a job for the police, I'm sorry to say this man would never have been caught." But last week, the PSNI warned so-called paedophile vigilante groups here. They warned them that their activity could potentially undermine ongoing investigations. So are they actually helping the police tackle crime or doing more harm than good? 03030 80 55 55. Jim Gamble is the former head of the Child Exploitation and Online Protection Centre and the commentator for Nola Meredith. They both joined me this morning. What do you reckon, Jim? Because I know we've spoken to you about this before. There'll be many that think, watch these videos and think, well, look at that. They're doing great work. They're almost making it easier for the police.
Well, yeah, I mean, and no one is going to complain that a predator, especially one in a position of influence that he had within the media, has been caught. Everybody applauds that. But the fact of the matter is, the tactics that are employed are high risk. It won't always go right. And we cannot and should not encourage vigilantism of any kind. That doesn't mean that there's not significant lessons to be learned by police with regard to how you can stop vigilantism by engaging with members of the public who want to do this work and who are willing to be vetted by the police and employed virtually as special constables. So trained, vetted and supported, we could create a citizen's army of thousands of people who could actually turn the tables on these predators, and it would be within the criminal justice infrastructure rather than the current unregulated and high-risk activity that goes on by these vigilantes outside it.
So basically you're saying that you would encourage these people to come in and work with the police as opposed to...
No, that's not what I'm saying. I think that's what a lot of people think I'm saying. I'm not encouraging vigilantes to step inside the criminal justice infrastructure. What I'm saying is vigilantism is wrong, regardless that sometimes the end seems to justify the means. Ultimately, what I'm saying is let's learn lessons. Ordinary members of the public, people who could apply for and join the police because they've got good character, people who can be psychologically assessed, trained and supported, the police need to look at a system that allows them to come on board. So park vigilantes, forget about them. Let's recruit ordinary members of the public who can do this job, because you don't need to be a rocket scientist to do it, and bring them within the criminal justice system as volunteer part-time police officers.
Then we'll volunteer, so for free.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole thing
Just so I understand, Jim, so you're not talking about bringing in the people that are already within these vigilante groups. You're talking about recruiting volunteers to do this specifically, because there'll be people that hear that and go, well, what's the point in the police then? You're asking them people to go and join the police to do a really, really crucial job and not get paid for it.
But what we know from the fact that vigilantes are springing up everywhere is that people are frustrated at the police's inability to catch these people. The police themselves are frustrated because there are too few with far too much work to do in this area. There's been a lack of investment across the UK. So there are too few police officers. So the issue is this. You know, lots of communities, there are special constables walking the streets today and will be tonight across England and Wales. There are Garda reserves operating down south. There is no difference between someone volunteering and putting a uniform on and walking the streets of a town at night as a volunteer, in a volunteer going online and using skills that have been given by the police to catch the low-hanging fruit that these predators represent. What we simply do then is reinforce police numbers in a way where police cannot hide behind the austerity blanket that government, you know, often rolls out to say, well, okay, there's just no more money.
Regarding that austerity and the issues around budgets, Jim, then where would you get the money to train them? Because surely with so many legal restrictions and the law being the law, they would need to be aware of what they're doing.
Well, I think most police forces could you know, eat that additional funding within their existing capacity of training. But actually, when I looked at this using the Police Ready Reckoner a couple of years ago, 1.5 million would provide sufficient across the entire UK. That would provide a detective sergeant supervisor and a civilian trainer in each of the National Police Chiefs Council areas, the old ACPO areas across the UK, to coordinate and facilitate this type of work. Now, if you take that across, you know, the 40-plus police services, that becomes a very low amount of money for a very high-impact tactic that, for a change, will turn the tables on the criminals.
Let's bring in Fionnuala Meredith at this point. What do you reckon, Fionnuala? Would you encourage members of the public to be recruited by the police as a volunteer to help them do this but not get paid?
Well, I think it would be a great plan if it actually worked. And obviously, Jim, you've looked in this at this in some detail, and you've done some research. And in theory, you know, it sounds great because you'd be harnessing a lot of that public kind of desire to see paedophiles confronted and prosecuted. But it's just whether any of these kind of existing vigilante people would be willing to join up to something like this. Because, I mean, you look at them, it seems like there's a desire to be outside the system. Even look at the names they call themselves, things like Demon Hunter and so on. I think there's a culture there of being outside the system, of trying to do the job that they say the police aren't doing properly. And I'm just not sure if you would get sufficient numbers of people who are actually willing to sort of come within the system and be trained and all those things. I think they prefer to be on the outside and to sort of see themselves in that kind of almost heroic kind of light.
Jim, do you think your plan, would that lead to less vigilante groups? Because given what you've said, it doesn't really help us to deal with the people that act in that way at the minute.
Well, I think it's twofold. One is they have an excuse at the minute. The excuse is, well, the police aren't doing it. Nobody else is doing it. And I think Fionnuala's right. I mean, there is an issue with some of the people. Some of the vigilante individuals whom I know of are decent people who've gone about this because they're frustrated. Something's happened to a family member.
Yes.
Others are self-seeking, self-publicising individuals who, if you look at their own record, haven't got a criminal record to be proud of. In fact, you know, some of them I wouldn't let walk my dog, let alone go out and restrict somebody else's liberty. So we need to get to a point whereby we can stop that. So there's two things. One, let's change the law. I wrote to the Committee of Justice a number of years ago and gave evidence to them here. Unfortunately, we have no government at the minute. But if we get one back, let's amend the law to say that if you are over the age of 18 and you masquerade as someone below that age to talk to a child, so someone below 18 who you know or believe to be a child, you should commit a criminal offence. No sexual intent required whatsoever. Why would a 58-year-old man pretend to be younger than he is to talk to a 13-year-old girl? So, first of all, that would make it easier to engage with and prosecute those people who go online, where we struggle now to prove sexual intent in getting a child to move. Secondly, it would inhibit paedophile hunters, because without lawful authority, i.e. the permission of the police, they couldn't go on and masquerade as a 13-year-old. What we would then have to do, however, is balance that with a recruitment campaign that let the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the social worker, the civil servant, the retired journalist, whomever, volunteer to do 3 nights a week or 3 days a week within the police station as a volunteer digital detective. And I speak at conferences across the country and beyond, and I always ask the question, would you become a volunteer digital detective? And in audiences of hundreds, nearly everybody puts their hand up.
Of course, but you asked that. It's not exactly the same as doing it, Jim. Just in terms of the level, and maybe this is slightly insulting to people that volunteer for things, but for such an important job, if you don't get paid for it, it would be a very difficult job as well.
You know, there's lots of things people do that they don't get paid for.
Yeah, but are they as crucial as something like that?
But you know what? If you're going to devote your spare time to doing something that makes a difference, if you want to create a legacy in a young person's life, if you want to help divert them from being abused by these individuals, then I can think of no better thing to give up, you know, 4 or 5 hours of your time for every week. I think we'd be overrun with applications for people who wanted to do it. This is not deep undercover work. What I was going to say, the people who don't put their hand up to volunteer for this, in my experience when we discuss it, are generally police officers. And that's because there is an arrogance that only the police can do this. Now, I used to be in charge of the National Crime Squad and covert policing across the UK. This isn't about a legend and undercover work. This is about pretending to be a 13-year-old on a social media site or on a dating website and simply sitting and waiting to be approached. It is not difficult. It is not complex.
Okay.
And a couple of weeks' training would equip you to do it.
Last question for you, Jim. The paedophile vigilantes, or whatever they want to call themselves, do they put themselves at risk of crossing the line and breaking the law on what they're doing?
Actually, I think they do. Some of them are extremely provocative, and that's going to lead, you know, to hostile engagement and possibly assault. Others are borderline masquerading as police officers. And there's a whole range of things. And the fact that they live stream incidents before any judicial process has taken place, it's only, I mean, we know that some people have committed suicide in the aftermath of vigilante incidents. We know that there have been incidents of assault. And we know some people hide behind their so-called vigilanteism to do things that would in essence be a breach of the law. So it has to stop.
Jim, thank you. Last word on this to you, Fionnuala.
I just think I'm really uncomfortable with people acting outside of the kind of the wisdom of the authorities. I know we can always criticise the police for their lack of action in these areas or their perceived lack of action, but at least with the police there's some expectation of transparency.
Yeah, but these people will be trained by the police.
Yeah, well, I know, but like I say, I'm not sure how many people actually would sign up for that. You know, it's just definitely, you know, I think we're all agreed that there's huge problems with vigilantism and, you know, acting outside the law. You just don't know where it's going to end up. There's been so many instances where there's public outing of so-called suspected paedophiles who may or may not be. And then you get this, you know, you kind of get instances of assault. You can expose suspects and their families to retaliation. Get all these kind of amateur witch hunts. And, you know, there's just no control. It's a very, very emotive subject. People lose control of their wits. I think leave it to the cops.
Okay. Fionnuala Meredith and Jim Gamble, thank you very much.